3. We're number 3. Start the clock, Travis. Start the clock. this is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau.
Woohoo!
In Las Vegas,
Nevada. The clock is running.
The clock is running. We are number 3 on Amazon.
Yeah, the lousy cover has jumped from number 9 yesterday to 7 this morning.
Number 3.
Four. It was at 4 at 10 a.m. and now it's number 3.
And you know, one of the reasons the number... And actually, if people wanted to make me really happy, they could go to...
And why would they?
That's a really good question. Why would they?
You're my boss. I want to make you happy. Go and buy the DVD, please.
If they went and bought... You know, it's done hourly.
Yeah,
Amazon does their number hourly. So if you're thinking of buying The Aristocrats, and why wouldn't you be? I mean, there's the funny movie. Go to Amazon right now and buy it. And maybe while we're on the air, we can see it go to number 2. Because it is so much funnier than Wedding Crashers, which is number 2. Wedding Crashers was supposed to be funny. But The Aristocrats is funnier. And The Biggest Loser Workout is number 1. We'll never knock that
never
one
knock
off.
Never knock that off.
Never knock that one off. Because people think...
You could laugh enough to lose weight in this movie.
Sure, you could laugh enough to lose weight, but it's
or
not...
Or you could be disgusted enough to throw up. And that's either of those.
It's not advertised that way.
Really?
It's not advertised as a fitness... See, what people want...
Maybe that's the problem with the cover.
Exactly!
Maybe
the dog
Kathy
is
Lee
fat.
Should be working out
the
on it.
The dog is fat. Yes, there should be people working out on the cover of The Aristocrats instead of whatever the hell that is. That pink, blue, bad 80s movie. But some people like it. If you're buying it for the cover, don't buy it. If you're buying it for the funniest movie ever made, buy it.
You know, as long as we're talking about this, how come Provenza and Gilbert are on every other radio station in the world?
And Saget and Sarah Silverman.
And none of them are on our show. I don't want to seem rude.
All I'll say is the Cobbler's family goes shoeless.
Okay.
Dr. Ruth's husband does not get laid. It's because we are involved in The Aristocrats. What they're doing is they're like little Johnny Obscene Seed. Obscene Seed. Going around just throwing out these little pellets of disgust on other radio stations. And they're leaving it on us to do it for ourselves, The Aristocrats. But the rating is 4 stars. You know, the rating is 4 stars on The Aristocrats. And, you know, there's a lot of 1 stars in there. You know, a lot of people that go, this movie's disgusting. I put on the cover. I put on the cover unspeakably obscene. It says everywhere on Amazon, unspeakably obscene. The poster said, and then you write a review saying, oh, it's obscene.
Dirty.
It's like going to see Superman and saying, the guy flies.
People don't fly.
I didn't want to see a guy fly. Well, if you want to, or Planet of the Apes. Oh, monkeys run everything. There's too many monkeys. It's Planet of the Apes, you moron. Gilbert does a whole thing on people going to Planet of the Apes and then complaining. You know, if you go to a movie called Planet of the Apes and you come out and say that's stupid, they told you there is no Planet of the Apes. They called it Planet of the Apes. Of course it's damn stupid. Same thing with The Aristocrats. It is filthy language. Every word that has ever annoyed anyone is in this movie, except the word moist. And my friend Renee French.
I hope Renee's not listening.
She hates the word moist. And we said that on the air a while ago. And then got a bunch of Gmails from people saying that they also dislike that word.
Moist is climbing the hated word
the
chart.
FCC. The FCC is
Amazon's
on this
list of terrible words. Moist is up at number 4 now.
The FCC is going, wait a minute, moist bothers people? Let's get on board the moist train. Let's all get on board the moist train.
Moist train, yo.
I know there's
I'm
jokes.
I'm starting to not like moist.
There's jokes to do with the word moist, but we don't have to do them.
No, we don't.
Because right now as we speak, Saget and Gilbert and Provenz are doing them on
other
another
Other people are covering the moist.
They're covering the moist. They're covering the moist joke. But number 3 is pretty good. I'm going to hit refresh here just in case we got lucky during this.
Now
it's number 2. No chance at all?
Well, there's some chance. I mean, I guess it's 11 now. So.
Woo! Now we're number 3.
3? That's what we were before.
Yeah, I know.
Nice try.
I know. But here we are at number
we.
3. You held the camera.
I did.
Are you listed on the...
I am. I'm in the International Movie Database as a cameraman for The Aristocrats.
Really?
I am.
You have so much to fall back on.
I do. I do now, yes.
And so your parents were so worried, weren't they? You have nothing to
juggler for a living, yeah.
Did you go to college?
Clown college.
Yeah, I went to clown college, too.
I went to college. I just didn't finish. I was going to be a forest ranger.
Really?
I was, yeah.
Forest Ranger, clown, cameraman.
I have all the skills, yeah.
Michael Goudeau. Add that to his website. What is your website called again?
I don't know.
There's this big fan site. We asked for it. We got it. Now we pay no attention to it. That's the kind of people we are. Once we got what we wanted, we did nothing. We did nothing with it. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
We're on Free FM, as we are every day at this time. I'm saying at this time because we're in several different time zones. Wasn't that clever?
That was very good.
So I wasn't even noticed that we're in different time zones. People think I'm talking directly to them at their desk in their cubicle while they're getting annoying phone calls. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. It's free. And you can also write us Gmails. We pay much more attention to Gmails than we do telephone. And it's penradio@gmail.com. PENNRADIO@gmail.com. And penradio.com will bring you to our website. So if you want to call in, we're open. We're very open to letters today. As a matter of fact, do you have that one? The psychic one?
Yeah. I have a friend who's being scammed by a psychic.
Well, first of all, this is not you talking.
This is not me. This is Steve.
Steve.
Steve, we're not saying the last names.
Don't
anymore.
Say last names. I don't like that.
It's
we weren't told. Free FM says, say last names, give telephone numbers, free, do whatever you want. But for me, well, you want to be friendly in the
Steve.
Letters. It seems giving the last
name. Steve.
Steve. Hi, Steve. How you doing, Steve?
We could call him Mr.
Mr. Steve. It'd be like, Tiny Tim is dead.
I have a friend who's being scammed by a psychic. The lady did the egg trick where there was blood and some unidentifiable object within an egg.
Hair.
Unidentifiable hair. My friend was told that she was under a curse and that she would be unable to have a family until she was cleaned of this evil. The cleansing, of course, will cost a bit of money. I've heard this scam before, but don't know how it was done. Could you tell me how it was done? I want to keep the poor girl from being screwed over by this fraud. Any info would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Well, this scam, it's what's called charitably. It's charitably called sleight of hand. The actual move. And one of the mistakes people make on all this psychic stuff is they think that the move itself is difficult, that the move of palming a piece of hair, the unidentified substance is usually a piece of hair.
Chicken livers,
yeah. A little piece of hair, and some red food dye that passes as blood.
A
couple drops that are put into the egg. And you either take a very small awl. Is that what my dad used to call them? Prick punches, but they're awls.
All, yeah. All. AWL.
And you put it in. You put it in the end of it, and you can stuff that stuff in. But more likely, you just take that the load, as
sure.
You call it in magic.
The ick.
The little bit of chicken liver. Mm-hmm. A little bit of red food coloring for the
some
blood.
Hair.
A little bit of hair. Hair is important because hair inside an egg is just creepy.
Man.
Creepy. And then you just, when you put the egg down into the handkerchief to break it, you already have that stuff in there.
It's in the handkerchief, right. They do wrap it up in a handkerchief as part of the ritual.
And then you have them break it.
And they break it themselves.
They break it themselves. And then the yolk will stay intact if they break it gently. And you can pull that stuff apparently out of the yolk. That move is really easy. The hard move is getting someone to believe
you
have psychic powers. I mean, this is the whole thing of psychics. Every trick you see, spoon bending, you know, if you come out as a magician and say you're going to put a little hair in an egg, no one cares. They know how you did it. If you say I'm going to bend a spoon, they know how you did it. You know, it's sleight of hand. You're just going to slip it away. And sleight of hand so often is such a charitable term. For this stuff. It's not like sleight of hand is the
There's
stuff.
There's no sleight and not much hand. Huh?
Exactly. I mean, the stuff that Michael Close, who's one of the best close-up guys here, Eric Mead out in Colorado, who listens to our show often, Jamie Ian
sure,
Swiss
Jane.
In New York, Chris Kenner, you know,
right.
A lot of these guys,
All those guys.
Mike Weber. That's real sleight of hand. You know, that back palming
right.
Eight cards and doing a shift with the other hand and bottom dealing and dealing seconds. This kind of stuff being called sleight of hand is just insane. What it is,
it's a preset.
Yeah. And the same thing with the spoon bending. It's not really sleight of hand. The hard part is getting people to believe. And what you do, and I'm going to use this term, even though I have real strong misgivings about it, I'm going to use the word gypsy. And the problem with using the word gypsy is it can seem like racism. Because
sure, it is a specific group.
It is a specific group of the people that spoke, what is it, Romani? How do you pronounce that?
Romanians?
No. Not, the language is R-O-M-Y, I think. Romi. They come from a certain part of India and then migrated up to Romania and that area. And the word gypsy is said proudly, but and there are people. I mean, the people, the Gypsy Kings, and there's a lot of gypsy music.
Right.
There's wonderful, a lot of great jazz.
A lot of gypsy moths.
But there is what gypsy really means is it's the tribe that has been given by Jesus Christ the power and the freedom to steal. And the story that gypsies tell is that when Christ was to be put on the cross, they asked for 4 spikes from the father of all gypsies to make them. He was a metallurgist or whatever. What do you call that?
Blacksmith.
Good. Metallurgist.
That's what I call him.
Is such an easier word to come up with. Blacksmith. And they asked him to make four spikes. Three spikes, one for each hand, one for the feet. Then the fourth spike would be to go through the heart and kill him. And this blacksmith, the first gypsy, was told by God at night, those spikes should be used to kill my son, so do something about it. And what he chose to do about it, as opposed to freeing Christ,
or making them out of foam rubber,
was to do a handkerchief switch,
okay.
which is still something that's used by gypsies, and is still called the gypsy handkerchief switch when used by magicians. And it's a way of folding a handkerchief, so you see X number of things go in,
right.
And then X minus one number of things come out.
Okay.
And so he gave them 3 spikes instead of 4, so that Christ could suffer for a really long time on the cross.
Something like that.
Instead of being killed quickly and easily, even though it was his father that wanted him to die for the sins of people who would come after. There it gets too complicated. But the gypsy part, I understand. And God said as a reward for this that all the gypsies and their progeny for time immemorial would be able to steal from anybody they wanted. Roam the earth freely.
That's a good deal.
And this is told, or at least was told, because, you know, MTV is doing more to kill scams than anything else because they want to be part of the society.
Right.
But like the Amish, you know, and like the other whack jobs, you can keep people out. I just called Amish whack jobs. But Amish aren't listening. They don't have radios.
That's why you can make fun of them.
Sure. Unless they're hearing it on their teeth.
Thing.
Yeah. They're allowed to steal. It goes, but they have to be kept into the society, or it starts to pollute their brain with our modern morals.
Right.
So that's what I mean by gypsy. I'm not talking about a race of person. I'm talking about someone who believes that they have the license to steal.
Well, yeah, it's estimated by some law enforcement agencies that the average gypsy fortune teller is making about $200,000 a year.
That's good money.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, and they will split once they make a big sting. And what you're talking about with the egg thing is they will tell you that whatever's wrong, and apparently this is the horrible thing here, it's infertility, right? Having trouble having a baby.
This one is infertility.
And so they tell you to take an egg, and they'll usually tell you to just take your own egg, which makes the trick stronger, you know. So
bring your own egg in.
Pick an egg. No, don't bring an egg. At home, you take an egg that you have.
Sure, put it under your bed.
And then you put under the bed, or you put under your pillow, which is messy. Put under the bed is probably a better idea. And then it's going to suck up if there's any evil in your house. Then you bring it to the gypsy. No switch, no nothing. The gypsy just rubs the egg all over your body, which is very sexy. I don't know if you've done
that.
That's
worth some money.
But an egg being rubbed over your body by an elderly woman from Romania, wonderful. Then when she's done doing that, she takes the egg and puts it in a handkerchief, which unbeknownst to the mark, has in it a little piece of hair,
preload,
little piece of liver, chicken liver, little piece of red food covering. Then you smash it with a little hammer or something, any sort of, but it's usually
you
something
do it yourself,
mystic.
Right? Yeah, here's
and
the
there's a lot of religious stuff over this, crosses waved and
dancing
so on.
Dancing around.
And then she opens it up, and the gypsy opens it up and goes, oh, what's that? Ah! And then you're all grossed out because there's hair in an egg, which is a good reason to be grossed out.
Right.
And then they say, oh, there's a curse on you. Is there someone in your life that hasn't liked you? Pretty safe bet. You mention who it is, and they say they've probably put a curse on you. It's going to cost. And then the gypsy takes inventory on how much they think you have. you know, it's going to be, you know, $50,000 in cash. And then you go take that cash and I'll, you know, bring it and we'll cleanse it, and they steal it. But that is, and then, you know, when you go back, if it's a big enough score, the gypsy's gone,
sure,
out of town, somewhere else to steal. And I want to say again, I'm using the word gypsy and I'm using it cavalierly. I do not mean any sort of race of people, because that would be wrong. Some of the people on the Bunko squad, the people that bust people who do this, have that background. And it's very important to point that out.
Wow, it also says here that some of the gypsies have been known to hire a private investigator, mm-hmm, to learn as much about the victim as possible if they think there's enough money involved in this case.
But that's pretty rare, because mostly...
Well, you don't think you're going to scam out $100,000. I'd spend $10,000 on the PI. Sure.
Of course you would, but you probably don't need to, because the marks tell you everything. When people come to a fortune teller, they are full of grief. They're really hurting inside, and they want someone to talk to. So they pour out their heart.
Sure, you're probably not going because you feel great and you want to know why.
Yeah. Oh, look,
here's $10,000. What's going right in my life?
Hey, there's a jelly bean in the egg. You're doing really well. I was trying to think there of something that would look good in
there. Jelly
egg.
Bean, that's pretty good. Bacon.
There's a little piece of bacon in the egg.
Oh, yum.
Cheese. Yum, yum, yum. Cheese. And you mostly, and this is the sad thing about a lot of these psychic things, is if we listened to each other enough, if we really did pay attention to our friends and even to strangers, they wouldn't have a chance. Because what you get out of the scammers, the psychics, is they prey on loneliness and grief. So if you don't have anybody that you talk to that loves you and that you care about, you go to someone, and for a very reasonable price, like $20, all they care about is you.
Yep.
You know, it's that moment, and you do this so rarely in your life, where you really listen to somebody. I don't mean thinking about what you're going to say next or getting into your next story or any of that stuff, but really listening deeply, something I've never done once in my life.
Yeah, I'm not doing it now.
No.
I'm reading emails.
But when you do that, when you listen carefully, and try it as an experiment, because it's a really amazing thing. Try.
Are you telling me as my boss to listen to you?
No, do not listen to me on a radio show.
Okay.
All this advice is the worst advice possible for a radio show. I mean, if you're watching Larry King or any of the guys that do interviews,
yeah, sure.
Letterman, they mm-hmm. never listen at all to what's being said to them. They have to be ready for the next thing, ignoring it. But in day-to-day life, if you're on an airplane in a long flight and you're talking to somebody, try to figure out how much you can find out about that person just by listening to them, and get credit for being incredibly perceptive, because people tell you everything, you know? And when you tell them back, you have a problem in your family, if you start to hit it, they will start to nod. They really do nod, and they really do shake their head. We did that scam we did on Sin City Spectacular. With Carrie.
That disaster.
It was a disaster because it went too well.
Well, yeah, it was just heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking. People really want you to know about them. And if you can detect as a scumball or a gypsy, we're using the terms interchangeably, and you can detect that someone has a lot of money and is really lonely, they're an easy mark. So the egg scam, and the guy that wrote the letter, Steve, seems to think that I'm going to explain how the scam is done with the egg move, and then everything's going to be okay. That's not the case. What you really need to do to the person that's being scammed by the gypsy is love her, listen to her, care about her, make it so her loneliness
goes away. We've made it about you, Steve. Steve, there's something wrong with you.
Well, you know,
there's bad crap in your egg, Steve. You have karmic bad stuff in your egg. Go talk to her, Steve.
Oh, I'm trying not to say that, but a part of
as
it is...
As your translator, I'm helping.
A big problem is that the skeptics tend to say, no, that's completely jive. And that's true that it is completely jive, but they don't say... And what's wrong? What's troubling you? Is there another way out of this? What could we do? You know, and if we all cared about each other just a little bit more, strangers and everything, psychics would go away. You know, gypsies would have their license to steal from Jesus Christ, but they would have a harder time cashing in on that. Except, of course, for the home invasions and the pouring crankcase oil
sure,
on your driveway.
Your road, yeah.
Yeah, they'll hold the piece of string and all those other scams. But we'll talk, maybe we'll talk a little more about, I saw Mythbusters last night. I might talk a little bit about that.
That's great.
But we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. You can call in, you can write us Gmails, we'll do whatever you want. Penn Jillette here in Las Vegas with that groovy jazz playing. Take it out, Mike Jones, take it out. bass player kills me every time. Number three, Aristocrats is number three, and we're after Wedding Crashers. And when you think about it, you know, the Aristocrats is Paul Provenza and me and 100 of our friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a little Canadian company, right?
Right.
Wedding Crashers is, you know, big stars, mega bucks behind it, and they're only one ahead of us on Amazon. That's really cool. I mean, that's really a great thing that, you know, the little guy can bring down the big guy. Now, by little guy, I mean 6'6 and 290 pounds. Provenza was a genius today. Provenza always is a genius. Paul Provenza, the director of the Aristocrats and one of the funniest, coolest guys in the world, they did a I'm going to use the real term we use, and although it sounds like it could be a little close to the bone, a bit of an obscenity, I'll explain it. They did a big gangbang today. And gangbang in show business means when you sit in a room and they go to satellite and they do all sorts of TV uplinks. So Provenza and Gilbert were being interviewed by like 30 television stations all around the country. And Provenza, because he's such a genius, he insisted on positioning himself so that his right shoulder is covering the dog. So, and Gilbert came in over some of the other stuff, so all you could see is The Aristocrats, funniest movie ever made, you know, and then the Rolling Stone quote or whatever. And they covered the dog in a lot of the lousy cover. They leaned on it. They covered it up. So that's what he's doing. Provenza's doing his part for us to get up the charts and beat the Wedding Crashers. We're number three with The Aristocrats. I mean, clearly.
I bet The Wedding Crashers has a nice cover, doesn't it?
Wedding Crashers has a really nice cover.
Probably why.
Because The Aristocrats has Mr. Cutie Pie on it. What's his name? Aren't they both cute? Are they like cute superstar guys? What's his name?
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, and there's another one too. There's two of them.
Well, we have the dog.
Ben Stiller. Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller, who are both on the cover and are bona fide stars. We, however, have a ton of Academy Award winners.
An unknown dog.
We have Whoopi Goldberg, Robin Williams, Stephen Wright, Paul Reiser, Gilbert Gottfried, Sarah Silverman, The Smothers Brothers, Pat Cooper, South Park, The Onion. Another 90 of those. And what do they put on the cover? An unknown dog. There you go. We were talking about psychics.
Billy Connolly on the cover.
We could have put Billy Connolly on the cover. Billy Connolly's not on the cover. Eric Idle is not on the cover. Penn and Teller aren't on the cover. Paul Provenza isn't on the cover. I mean, you can go through the whole list. Chris Albrecht isn't on the cover, right? Nobody is on the cover. Doug Stanhope isn't on the cover. All these people.
I hear that dog movie has a good version of the joke, though.
Unknown dog on cover. I want to get back to the psychic stuff because, you know, it's something very, very important to me, very close to my heart.
We have a call.
We have a phone call. Sure. Jen, who is on line six, I'm telling New York. If you can put Jen on, we'll talk some psychic stuff while y'all go and buy the Aristocrats.
Hello?
Jen, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
How you doing, boss?
Okay, well, you're talking about the egg thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw Man on the Moon, the movie about Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's true or not, but when they discovered he had cancer, he went down to, like, some island, and they did the egg thing to him. He was thinking it was some holistic medicine to get, like, the cancer out of his body.
I believe that. I don't remember it being an egg gag. I remember it being psychic surgery.
Okay.
Was the psychic surgery
similar?
That's what it was, I'm sure.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman, and this is, you know, a lot of people say, well, if someone's that desperate and there's no hope at all, what harm does it do to believe in something that's not true? And the answer is Andy Kaufman left less money to his family. He spent a lot of money in the Philippines on psychic surgery. And the other bad news is that Andy Kaufman lost some of his dignity doing that. And also time. You know, he should have been with his family and friends, being loved and loving. He should have been flying to the Philippines. But that gag is very similar to the egg gag in that you, and I use the word
a little more sleight of hand.
I use the word gag as sleight of hand term, not to show any disrespect for the people that fall for this and are ripped off by this. But the gag is that you have a little bag. Amazing Randy teaches this. A little bag, very tightly, like a baggie, and you fill it with fake blood, chicken parts or pork parts, or even better. Because they look more like human parts, and maybe a little bit of hair. Always good to have hair. And then you tie it off really tight, so it's like a very, very tight balloon. And make sure you use a cheap plastic bag.
Don't get the good ones.
Don't use a condom, because it won't break. I found that out. So you you tie it off, so it's really tight, and then you can hold that little package, or as we call in magic, the load. You can hold the load in a palm position, holding it in your hand, using the bottom of the thumb and the bottom of the little finger to hold it, and then you dig in, and even somebody with a six-pack, abs, you can still get a little bit of fat going there. You roll that around, and then all you do is bring your hand down. You go into to wet your hands. That's when you grab the little package. Grab the load in when you're washing your hands. You grab that up, bring it up, and then just kind of break it on their abdomen. And then you hold your hand tight against there, and you reach in and pull out these little pieces with your other hand. And it really looks, with a little bit of fat on the abdomen, like me, you could pull out the whole chicken. A little bit of fat on the abdomen.
Here's the problem. The kitchen sink was in your gut.
Exactly. You can pull out these little pieces that you show them are the, and then you just label it cancer or evil spirit, depending on what level you're at. And people have seen psychic surgery. And because of the excitement and the anticipation and the hope, it's also very likely they'll feel a little better that day. And then they've paid the money and they're out of the Philippines. Yeah, for a little while. You know, you can't talk yourself. I mean, this is one of the things that really troubles me about all that positive thinking stuff. You end up blaming the victim. You can't talk yourself out of cancer. So no matter how much positive thinking you do, if you get hit by a truck, you're going to die. Not necessarily. I mean, if you get hit, your foot could be run over, but you see my point. So, yeah, exactly, Jen. It's the same kind of thing. But once again, all the work, and this is the mistake I think that some skeptics make, is that all the work is done on how the sleight of hand is done, and not enough is done on how you play upon the grief and the panic of your victim to get them to believe this stuff. And then the chicken guts is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, boss. Oh, go ahead. Did you say more?
Too?
Yeah.
I went to Italy this year, and over there, I guess it's a big problem with the gypsies on the street.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's no child services over there, so gypsies will literally have their babies in their arms, and they'll throw their babies at you trying to get you to drop your purse so that they can take your purse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Now, what this means to me is, did someone throw a baby at you and you held on to your purse?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Some things are a good trade.
My best friend was living over there, and she warned me about it, so I guess it's a problem over there. So
you just dodge the babies when they toss them to
you.
You have to be
I'm not falling for that.
You have to be very careful because the gypsies, the scam artists, do such bad stuff that it also grows into urban myth. So I have heard some lying on the other side. But when I was in India, some of the beggars there really do will give birth on the street, you know, showing how badly they need alms. And they would tell us that that we could not give them even a quarter or we'd be swarmed. And when I was in India, I was outside of New Delhi. Right around a place called New Delhi. I couldn't remember.
That'll work. That's close enough.
I couldn't remember what the area was called. But right near New Delhi, I made the mistake of going in and buying a trinket for a friend that I was going to pass off as real, and I had a little bit of change. And I made the mistake of, there were like three kids there. I gave them the change. And they had to send guards to get me back to the bus because I then had about, I don't want to exaggerate this, but probably two dozen, maybe three dozen people around me grabbing at everything. So you have to follow these insane rules. Like if someone throws a baby at you, don't catch it. And if someone who badly needs money wants it, you know, it's the Sam Kennison thing he said about the African appeals, the American appeals for African help, where they show the starving kid, and he says to the cameraman, just give him a Hershey bar. You're standing right there. The problem is that when you have a quarter, does not do very much good, but it certainly does get you in trouble. But I'll tell you, Jen,
it's the karma, but you're really screwing yourself in the end.
One of the problems is there's no such thing as karma. So that's one of the ways you get screwed. But Jen, if someone throws a baby at you, catch the baby, drop the purse. Human life is more important. And I know you would, Jen.
I
know you
would, Jen.
But the best thing you can do to help starving kids in Italy and India is to go buy The Aristocrats and bring it to number two.
I loved the movie, by the way. It was awesome.
Thanks so much. Boy, Jen, what a great call. She covered everything.
She was very nice. You know what? You know, you said it's Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn are in
that's what I said.
No, he isn't. Yeah, okay. All right.
Honestly.
He's the boss. Of course you did, sir.
I said it was like Ben Stiller.
No, no, you didn't say Ben Stiller. You never would have made that terrible mistake.
I like Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn. Who did I say it was?
No, it was Vince Vaughn. You always said Vince Vaughn.
Okay, good. But Vince Vaughn I kind of like. I saw him in some movie.
Yeah, Ben Stiller's not bad either.
They're all good. They're all good, but not as good as the Aristocrats. Oh, yeah. We'll be back after this on the Big Pen Gillette Show. I really liked Jen. I liked her a lot. She's just kind of cool.
Maybe she'll call again.
Concern for human life. Yeah, write us a Gmail. Be cool. But we want to do that. If we're on long enough, we'll get callers that we get to know and like. Like Steve and Jen and the skeptical Christian. We'll be back after this. Ben Gillette, sitting with Michael Goudeau. Number three. Number three, Aristocrats, is number three.
Climbing the charts.
Penn Radio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, at gmail.com and pennradio.com and 866-313-FREE. That's how you get in touch with us here on the Free FM. Free to talk about whatever you want, even holding on to your purse when a baby is tossed to you on the streets of Italy by those Vespa-riding wackos.
So we have a Gmail here. Here's a question. This is from Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian. If you could have any comedian who is no longer alive on The Aristocrats, who would it be?
Oh, well, that's a sad question. Those who have seen the movie and those who will see the movie will notice at the very end of the credits that the movie is dedicated to Johnny Carson. Many of the comics we interviewed about this dirty joke, The Aristocrats, said that it was Carson's favorite joke. And Johnny was a big fan. I mean, this is such an incredible thing to say. But Johnny was a fan of our TV show on Showtime, Penn & Teller, Bullshot, which is not really its name, but I'm now calling it Bullshot.
After Mind Freak?
After Mind Freak and Mythbusters, all people who are smarter than us. Bullshot. He called Randy, Amazing Randy, which you should know everything about Randy. It's at Randy, RANDI.org for the James Randi Educational Foundation. And he called Randy and asked for my phone number. And I was up in Newfoundland. Let's not start that again. I was up in Newfoundland on a kind of honeymoon with my wife.
Vacation.
It turned out to be a honeymoon, even though it was like 6 months before the wedding. That's the way we like to do it. And, I got this phone call from Johnny Carson, who was very, very polite. And Johnny Carson was calling me. It was on my cell phone.
In Newfoundland, on your cell phone? You got reception?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a cosmopolitan place, Newfoundland. And I almost passed out when he said, this is Johnny Carson. And I said, Mr. Carson, all of America.
You have the wrong number, sir.
All of America called him Johnny. But when he's on the phone to you, it's Mr. Carson. Mm-hmm. And I told him about, we wrote many emails after that, and I told him about The Aristocrats. He was real excited about the movie, but his retirement was very deep.
Yes.
He insisted that the retirement be real. He was bothered by other entertainers that retire and then come back, so he meant it. But he wanted to know who we were shooting for The Aristocrats, how the editing was coming. And as you know, Johnny died a year ago yesterday, I believe, either yesterday or today. And Provenz and I were up in Sundance. We had just done our first big screening of the movie, and we were like, I mean, just ecstatic, just screaming with excitement because people loved it. It was getting great reviews, and people were screaming. And we were sitting at the Starbucks up in Sundance, wherever that is.
Colorado. Starbucks?
Yeah.
Sundance?
Yeah, Utah.
Utah.
Yeah. And
Park City.
We were sitting in Park City. And thanks. You knew that. That's cool.
It's a good snowboard area. I snowboard.
Okay. I just didn't think you had a movie that was up there. Snowboarding, right?
Snowboarding, yeah. No, I don't have a movie there.
And we're sitting in the Buc-ee's.
I was a cameraman on The Aristocrats. I don't know if you knew that.
We're sitting in the Buc-ee's, and my wife called me. You know, and Provenz and I are like, you know, high five until our hands are red, you know. And,
that's not much, really.
Not much at all. No.
You're not doing a lot of digging or anything.
And maybe that isn't why our hands were red. I don't know. And my wife calls and says that Johnny Carson just died. And we instantly go, completely to tears. And I called Amazing Randy, who was a very good friend of his. You know, Johnny was very supportive of the skeptics.
Randy was on many, many times.
Yeah. And no psychic ever accomplished anything on the Carson show. he didn't have this, you know, this laissez-faire attitude of, oh, it's all good showbiz, man. When Eric Geller was on there, he sat there and boiled in his own hate. There was just nothing going down then. You know, Johnny put out the bad vibes and the controls that stopped psychics from working. And Randy and I cried on the phone. We actually couldn't speak. So the movie ended up being dedicated to Johnny Carson that day. We changed the print.
Yeah, it was to me until that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was dedicated to Michael Goudeau until then. Because we had plans to go from Sundance to Johnny's house in Malibu and show him the movie on a DVD. He really wanted to see it, and I made him that promise, and it broke my heart. And, I mean, that's just the start of it. It was a joke that Jack Benny and George Burns told all the time, and we get information from Gary Owens about that, who used to be on Laughing, as you know.
Sure.
And Buddy Hackett, I called Buddy Hackett and said, we're doing this movie, The Aristocrats, everybody funny telling the same joke, The Aristocrats, and he said, you know, we're not going to do Buddy Hackett, but he said, you know, I know that joke, it's great. Then he talked to me on the phone for a long time. You know, 10, 15 minutes, told me the joke in two or three different versions. We were laughing. And I said, well, can we come over and videotape you? And Buddy Hackett said, I'm dying now. I don't have time to do your documentary. But it's a great idea. And then I called that same day, I called Rodney Dangerfield, who said he liked the idea and then told me a great version. And if I were the kind of paranoid freakoid like you know, Michael Moore, who like taps his phone and has everything going like that, we would have been able to put in the audio, I'm sure. But it was a friendly call and really nice, and I would have loved
I thought you were going with it that the movie was cursed.
The movie was cursed.
Like Carter opening the tomb of King Tut. Three comics died while making The Aristocrats.
Go in the kitchen, get an egg, rub it all over my body, open it up. There'll be hair in there. That's how cursed I am. So I guess the answer would be, if it's one person no longer living, my choice would have been Johnny Carson, except it would have violated his retirement. But barring that, I would have loved to have Johnny in it. The guy from The Simpsons, what's his name?
Groening? Matt Groening was the guy that I came up with, and that was pretty good.
That's really good. Really
you
good.
Want me to do better than that?
Really good.
Nell worked
Dana
on
Gould.
Dana Gould,
one of the writers and producers of The Simpsons.
And a good stand-up comic.
Really good stand-up comic. And in The Aristocrats, he is hysterical.
Yes.
But he also does a perfect, spot-on Johnny Carson. And he did Johnny on the last show telling The Aristocrats. You heard about this family, Doc? You know, it was really great. So the answer
that was
to that,
your Carson impersonation. you do a lot of impersonations on this show. I did not know that about you.
They're just that sound nothing like the person. I'm going to go right now, just in case. I want people to hear my joy. I'm going to Amazon to The Aristocrats, and I'm going to hit a refresh and see if we have beaten The Wedding Crashers with Owen Morse, Ben Stiller, and we're number three. Number three is still very good.
You know, we can take a call, though. You know, we have Noreen is on line six.
Okay, let's take Noreen. What you want to talk about? I don't care.
She is a psychic information.
Okay, go ahead, Noreen.
But, you know, it doesn't look like the phone is actually going to Noreen, so maybe we'll go to something else then.
Okay, but if Noreen's there, we'll talk to you. Is she there?
Wait, there she is.
Hello, I don't know what line she's on. Can you tell me?
She's on line six.
Line six. Did we get Noreen?
Hello.
Hey, Noreen, this is Penn. How you doing?
Hi. So nice to talk to you. I loved your show on Showtime, and I think you're just wonderful.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you.
It's still going. She said past tense.
Are you familiar with the remote viewing program that the CIA had?
Yeah, when they got badly scammed on that, yeah. Well,
eggs rubbed all over them.
Well, did you read any of the firsthand accounts of the people that were the psychics during that time?
I don't think I did. Tell me about it.
One is called Psychic Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the infantry, and he got hit in the head with a bullet, and it didn't pierce his helmet. But because of that, he started having, dreams and nightmares and stuff. So what they did is they recruited him in. That's called Psychic Warrior. And the other one is called Stargate Chronicle.
Yeah.
And this was a guy that was born into a dysfunctional family, and he was sort of psychic his whole life. And they developed his psychic abilities, and they're very compelling.
Right. I haven't read the firsthand accounts, but I've read the stuff about both of those guys, and they were very, very compelling. They believed it 100%, I believe. They were not running a scam, but their hit ratio was very well explained with bad procedure. Yeah. The tests were run badly, so they don't have any evidence of remote viewing. They were interesting guys, and they certainly, I think, from what I can tell and what the reports are that I've read, they probably believed it themselves, but it wasn't true. The only remote viewing we have that was proven, it seems to be television.
Well, he gave the account of when they had the Iran hostage situation. The Monteagle book, he's the one that was involved in that, and he actually describes how they were able to discover that someone, one of the hostages, was sick, and they negotiated for that one sick guy to be brought out.
Yeah, I forgot the details on that, but it was not supernatural. There's another book. Is it Joe Nickel that wrote that book? One of the skeptics. I'll ask, as a matter of fact, because the big skeptic meeting is in Vegas, and they'll answer it quickly. Someone who's listened to this show, because a lot of skeptics listen, probably know the details on this. I'll find out the details for you, Noreen, and we'll talk about it on the air tomorrow, because I'm sure it's by tomorrow.
I want to thank you about your stand on circumcision.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Because 25 years ago, when I was going to have a child, and I definitely didn't want to have them circumcised, and checked it out, interviewed people that weren't circumcised.
I'll bet you did.
And came to the conclusion that it was barbaric.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you bringing it up.
25 years ago. That's pretty good.
Way ahead of your time.
Way ahead
nice
of your time.
Job, Noreen.
Thank you so much, Noreen.
Goodbye.
Wow.
We got to do the Randy, someone should be listening now that can tell us all about that remote viewing, because I remember I read the article about the book about the remote viewing in Randy's newsletter or Skeptic out of Caltech. I don't think that I read the actual book, and I wouldn't be qualified
it's been a long time.
To talk about that. But somebody is. We'll get that information.
They could have won the $1 million prize. Let's just say that.
They could have.
You could remotely.
Although, that's one of those things. Working for your country to save hostages, that's the kind of thing, if you had remote viewing powers,
you'd really do.
You'd really do that. to get sick hostages out, as opposed to rubbing an egg over someone and showing hair inside of it. That is a step up. And I believe that the people in this thing were probably not scamming, but probably believed, which is such an important difference to some and not to others. I mean, the example I always use is, if Charlie Manson really believes that Helter Skelter is coming, is it okay for him to have Sharon Tate killed? Is that an okay thing to do? I don't think it matters if you believe yourself or not.
Well, I don't know. When we started working on BS, one of the things that appalled me...
Bullshot!
Bullshot. Was that psychics' friends, the friends of psychics defending them to the death, really, on their websites and stuff. The idea that you would be lying about that and then let your friends defend you was a level of awful I had not expected.
Yeah, well, you don't have a choice, though, do you?
I guess you don't.
If you've bought yourself into that kind of scumminess.
Then you have no friends. You have no real friends.
Well, that's the thing.
Is that worth the money of pretending to be a psychic?
You know, when I wrote the book, How to Cheat Your... I'll Cheat Your Friends at Poker, which is about Dickie Richards, which is his false name. The scam artist who cheated all his friends. Most of what you're doing in this psychic stuff is you're exploiting friendship. And everybody thinks that when you exploit friendship, it's a terrible, horrible thing to do. But it also crushes your heart. Because you can't have friends. If all of your friends you're scamming and lying to, not only... is their friendship, your friendship to them, false, but also their friendship to you is false because you're not the real person you want to be. And I believe the damage. I mean, Dickie Richards, who is now out of the country and cheated at poker and made hundreds of thousands, probably over $1 million, cheating his friends, his so-called friends at poker, ended up a lonely old man with a lot of ha-ha, I got away with it on them. But no real friends, except perhaps me. So what I'm saying to the psychics is, you can spend your whole life ripping off people, and you won't have any friends except me. And that's a nightmare. Although I do have the #3 movie on Amazon. Woohoo! The Aristocrats, it's out today. We'll be back tomorrow and hopefully tell you about a little bit about remote viewing. Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau saying, we love you and we'll listen to you.